coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for Hey Kids Comics. Now, what I want you to do is turn your lights all the way down. Off. Oh, not quite off. I don't want you to hurt yourself, but down. I want you to strip naked. Clothes akimbo. Just on the ground, just everywhere. Just
Clothes akimbo, Master?
Clothes akimbo.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's my wrestling name. Clothes akimbo is my wrestling name.
I remember now.
Shut up, Igor. Daddy's talking. Daddy's talking. And I want you to light your blackest candle for tonight.
That burns! It burns!
Tonight. Hey Kids Comics Spooktacular 2017 commences. I am Andrew Farmer, everybody with me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston, playing the part of Igor tonight.
Yes, tonight I am Deadeye Cole.
Deadeye Cole, right. I was Franken Farmer.
That's right, Franken Farmer. As you may find out at the end of the show, provided hopefully. This is actually brought to you on, we're using Ouija Skype.
We really are at this point. We are holding on for dear life. We've been trying to record this issue for 2 days, and the curse of Halloween has stricken us again.
I think it's the ghost of Thomas Chick coming to haunt us.
You might
making so much sport of him.
You might be very right. You might be very right about that. But we always try to do something a little special for Halloween, and it would have been. I will tell you, we feel bad because it would have been a lot more special had we not had the poltergeist-like interference that occurred over the last couple days, but we seem to possibly be able to get in here and do some stuff. So we're going to go ahead and try to record this.
We're going to talk very fast, so just in case.
If you hear the entire show, you know that we made it out the other side alive.
There you go. All right, like so many tennis balls, here we go.
Nice. Poltergeist reference, I like it.
Yeah.
Can I be Craig T. Nelson?
You can be anything you want.
Yeah, I can. It's Halloween. All right, so Cole, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, tonight for Halloween, I thought we would do, this is the time of year where, you know, I like dressing up, and more so than normal.
Right.
This is the time of year where people dress up and take on a persona that's different than their own and, you know, get a chance to be the monster, be the creature. And it occurred to me that this was actually an issue that started out as a continuity issue, and then kind of by virtue of its very nature seemed to be ideal for a Halloween special, especially because I came up with this concept about 2 years ago before we had our first Halloween special. So once the concept was there, then we needed to sort of fill in that annual spot.
Sure.
And creature features is our topic. And we're going to talk about heroes and villains that can't simply just go out into the world incognito because they are so unhuman all the time.
Right.
You know, there was a period where Banner could change back and forth between the Hulk and Banner, or a better example would be Sasquatch from the from Alpha Flight, who could go back and forth between his hulked up form and his regular human form. You know, kind of like in Willow, change me back to my human form. except Willow, a little help here. So that there are so many characters that you're like, how did you get to your lair?
Right, right.
Without absolutely everybody noticing. I mean, in many ways, kind of the signature character here, it's a little wonder he was constantly plagued by the Yancey Street Gang, or the Yancey Street Gang, depending on if you read Ghost in the cartoon, it's the Yancey Street Gang. No, it's the Yancey Street Gang. It's the gang from Yancey Street, not the street gang called Yancey.
The Yancey Street Gang.
That's right. The Yancey Gang, the Yancey Street Gang, or the Yancey Street Gang. But the snake would occasionally get a wild hair and you know, decide, rather than just walk around in his battle shorts all the time, he would don the biggest London fog coat in the catalog.
How did they make... That's okay, so here's question one. Do monster characters have a tailor?
You know, I got to thinking about that just now, and I conjured up the one episode or part of an episode of The Sopranos that I ever saw. The show ran for God knows how long. I see one where Ben Kingsley appears as Sir Ben Kingsley. This was before he was knighted. It was weird. They kind of predicted it. I can't back that up. But
that's big news. That's...
Yeah, it was just bizarre. They're like, I guess, you know, the queen felt obliged. Oh, dear, it's not official. But he would, they like a couple of the Sopranos guys.
The used guys? A couple of used guys.
Yeah, the Bada Bingo Boobas.
Bada Bingo.
That's right. Bada-B-I-N-G-O, Bada-Bingo.
Now I want a Bada-Bingo card that I can use.
It's like bingo, only much more challenging.
It's right. You might lose a finger.
Because there's two B's for one thing.
That's right.
Whoever created Bada-Bingo didn't really... Yeah, they didn't really realize the idea was no letters were repeated. So, anyway, they run into Ben Kingsley at some event, and they follow him to this suite where, like, the famous are pretty much gifted all manner of high-end products just so that they can be photographed wearing a watch or looking at a camera. And, you know, he's sort of like, oh, you know, it's terrible, but oh, I'll take this watch. And I got to think, maybe the same thing happens with superheroes. You know, London Fog wants their coats to be seen on...
That's a brilliant...
Yeah, it's like, you know, Human Torch, not such a good idea. It's a thing. I mean, you know, here a very high-profile character, and he's wearing one of our coats.
That's true. That's true.
Like, you know, even the most hideous among us can enjoy the comfort and stylish quality.
Even the most hideous among us. Poor Ben Grimm.
It's not the best ad campaign they ever staged. We'll
right.
put it that
Mad Men didn't pick that up.
Like,
yeah, Don Draper didn't.
I lose my job over the London Fog thing campaign.
The London Fog thing. The London Fog thing? Yeah, the thing campaign. Oh, the thing campaign.
Okay, yeah, who's on first? So, yeah, so he would don this enormous trench coat and a hat and the widest pair of Foster Grants that could also be had.
Yeah, Merrill doesn't make that size shoe either, so.
Exactly, and he would go and wander the streets in his somber kind of, you know, tough test pilots don't cry.
Test pilots don't cry.
Tough test pilots don't cry.
Damn it. It's like a 50cc song. What was that? That was
I have no idea. I know two bands. One's the Beatles and one isn't.
No. Damn it. Now I have that image. Why wasn't that ever done in a movie? That's all they need to do to sell the Fantastic Four movie is
exactly.
Put 10cc's I'm Not in Love behind Ben Grimm walking down a rainy Yancey Street.
Yeah, and then the damn Guardians of the Galaxy hauled off and screwed it up by using that. And, you know, they'll seem like a bunch of Johnny Come Latelys.
That's right. That's right.
New Kid Down. Okay, now, enough of the, you know, this isn't behind the music.
Maybe it's easy. Call Hunter Deucing. We're doing a new show.
Right. So, in many ways, the thing both inspired this conceptually where I was headed with this show because of that very, very Lee and Kirby chestnut. And also, I got to thinking there's another character I wanted to bring up as being incapable of wandering around in public without, you know, a potential stir. And as a character of my own creation from some, like, 15 or 20 years, over 20 years ago now, I will wager to say nearly a quarter of a century ago, a character that I brought forth out of the atrocious universe that Steve McCauley and I had created in our youth, and kind of brought him to the fore out of his original context, and that is none other than Kid Tapeworm.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yes, yes. Please continue.
And Kid Tapeworm is kind of unique in that his lower body is like if you had like a tapeworm centaur. Because in place of the Skolex, the effective head of this parasite, you have the torso, arms, and head of a teenager. And depending from his waist is the remainder of what would be a rather colossal tapeworm that would probably even choke a blue whale that was constantly shedding the glottids off the end. And so what I did as a script element was that he embraced his 1/8 Scottish heritage and wore a kilt. And the sort of unwritten at the time, or, you know, never expressed in print as of yet, the gag was that it's impolite to look, you know, there if someone's wearing a kilt. Thereby, no one ever noticed that he was undulating along on this flatworm body of his.
That's good. That's good.
Literally,
I like
that.
Literally
put the hell at platyhelminthes. So for our parasitologist friends out there.
So it's like, it wasn't Copperhead. What was the name of the Bushmaster?
Bushmaster, yes.
Yeah, so it's like Bushmaster. That's exactly what we're getting at tonight.
Nightboy, or was that just like a cybernetic? Because there was actually a tapeworm character. I think we talked about it one time on the show, or I brought into What Would Comic Book Villains Do, which I need to return to that series, that was like a Nightwing villain. But it was like Stiltman. It was like the potato sack race version of Stiltman.
Really?
And that he had like regular people legs.
Yes.
But they were sort of squished together inside this elongated mechanical tail.
Oh, man, that's weird.
But if Bushmaster is in fact...
Well, even if he's not, yeah. Oh, man, that's good. That's good. Yeah, so that's the impetus. You know, and in the notes that I made special mention that, you know, we aren't talking about those that don't care. We aren't talking about, you know, I'm pretty sure MODOK, for all of his grotesqueness, could give two shits whether people thought he was gross or not. You know,
he's beyond the physical, because he is literally a mental organism designed only for killing.
Yeah. Fing Fang Foom doesn't care whether you care. Like, these are the people that want to be.
Sometimes he wears purple shorts. Sometimes he goes natrues. He doesn't care.
Right, in flagrante.
Because as a reptile, his hemipenis is tucked inside of a vent.
Hey, I had. Let me just tell you, they opened a new Mexican restaurant in Dayton. I had the best plate of hemipenis that you've ever had.
Oh, they are.
I like to go to Olive Garden and get the never-ending hemipenis bowl.
Yeah. Oh, who doesn't? I mean,
it's great.
Hemipenis pasta tossed in a lively tomato Alfredo sauce with a sprinkling of freshly grated Parmesan.
Just you never know when to say stop when they're grating cheese
on
your hemipenis.
So chewy.
You just gotta let it.
You just gotta gobble that up.
You just watch that waiter just shredding that fresh cheese all over your hemipenis, and you're eventually okay. You gotta somebody say stop for me. Somebody say stop for me, because I can never say stop.
Well, it's the thing is, for the hemipenis, they've got that grater that has it's like a hurdy gurdy. So it's sort of like,
I haven't thought about what a hurdy-gurdy was. Matter of fact, I haven't thought about what a hurdy-gurdy was since the last time I heard Hurdy-Gurdy Man, the song. So there you go.
This is a special musical Halloween episode.
This is a Halloween episode. I don't know if anybody's ever listened to one before, but we've also been trying to do it for 2 days. So Lord only knows what's going to come out of our mouths. We have blue heaver penis to get this show out to you all. Yeah. So
let's talk about the creature features, because there are so many characters that can sort of morph back and forth. And then there are characters who, like, the ubiquitous Raven McCoy.
Okay.
Who, when she gets into a kind of different aspect of the color wheel, Kermit the Frog kind of down, where it's not easy being blue.
Right, right.
She can just will herself every flesh tone color that humanity has ever produced.
Sure, sure.
She could even mimic that guy that painted himself green and didn't realize that spray paint ain't the same as body paint.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's good. Yeah, no. That's a toughie, right?
Which actually works for a Halloween episode. Because that guy is like Halloween forever.
He's Halloween. He is. He changed his name to Hal. Oween.
Hal.
That statement lends itself to a Christopher Walken-esque accent. Hal Oween. That's...
Hello, my name is Hal. Hal Oween.
That was good. Yeah, the double name. That works. I wanted to start this with a character
Don't like pumpkins. Okay.
Now that you say that... I love Tom Hanks. I love Tom Hanks.
That's a whole different story.
But I wish, there's a part of me that wishes that Christopher Walken was David S. Pumpkins.
Oh, wow. I am David S. Pumpkins, my own thing.
It would have been a much longer sketch.
Oh, yes, it would have.
Can we talk for a second about...
Any questions?
Okay. About one of my favorite monster-esque characters that I don't think... Up until Original Sin had not really been explored, I think, at full veracity. And I still don't think he has. But it's... Are you familiar with the Orb?
I actually, you had mentioned him last night during the many failed attempts at making this thing happen.
Right.
And I recall seeing him in some stuff. So I'm vaguely familiar.
So the Orb is a dude, but a dude that was born with the head that is just a giant eyeball. Literally, he has a human body up to the neck, and then above the neck, giant eyeball.
Yeah, it's just like, his head just happens to look like an eye. Does he have like proper eyes somewhere
no,
in there?
No.
Is that just like one giant, really,
really big,
dangerously,
yeah, exposed eyeball?
Yeah. Does he wear like a giant contact lens to protect his head, eye, face?
I remember there was an Avengers one shot back when they used to do those where they used to have Avengers Spotlight, solo Spotlight with Hawkeye. And he had a helmet in the shape of an eyeball, then the eyeball under the eyeball. So you would think that he had a human head and he just had a helmet in the Mysterio style, right? In the shape of an eyeball. But actually, he had an eyeball just under that eyeball. But somebody explained.
So it's like, that's how we trick you. Oh, we fool you good, huh?
So, yeah, this guy's entire life has been guy with an eyeball for a head.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, it begs the question, like, especially with eyeball head, because most of the guys that are monsters, like Armadillo.
Oh, yes.
The villain Armadillo, who got talked into having his genetic material mingled with that of an actual armadillo, and is thereby stuck that way forever.
Right.
But he was an adult, and he made that decision consciously. When you come out of the womb with the eyeball head, you think that doctor in Unbreakable was freaking out.
Right? Yes.
did this – I mean, seriously.
How do you – that had to be a C-section, right? I'm imagining.
Well, yeah, literally like a C section.
But he's rolled with God, this is so bad. He's rolled with like everybody. He's friends with Ghost Rider. He's rolled with Spider-Man and Wolverine. He was a big part of Original Sin. Ends up now you want to make matters worse. Now he has a giant eyeball, one of the Watcher's eyeballs, one of Uatu's eyeballs, grafted onto his chest. So there's a giant eyeball head and then a giant eyeball in his chest. This is where he's at in his life right now.
My other eye is down here.
That's right. Look up here or down here, mister. So yeah, there's no real way of hiding that. Like you said last night, you can't go out and just run down to the bodega and buy a pack of smokes when you have a giant eyeball for a head. You don't have a choice.
Does he have like a mouth, or does he just sort of wobble his visceral jellies to make sound?
I guess. Speaking of, you know what I like to do? I like to go down to Olive Garden. And
also for you ophthalmologists out there who are shaking your head saying, no, I know it's actually called vitreous humor.
That should
cover
be the name
my
of
ass here, just in case.
That should be the name of our podcast, Vitreous Humors. No, I like to go down to the old Olive Garden and get the never-ending salad and vitreous humors bowl.
That's always good too. That's good at lunchtime.
It's good at lunchtime. You don't want to fill up. You know, you want to keep it light. So you get eyeball flu. No, it's just weird and gross. But I've always been drawn.
Plus,
to this
at Halloween,
character.
You get never-ending dead sticks.
God damn it! I hate you so much, Cole Houston. But you never. Damn it! I've always been drawn to this character ever since I saw him in that one shot. Because how weird is it, and how sympathetic is it to have a character with just a giant eyeball for a head? That's just weird.
You would think, you know, that with that giant eyeball head, you would think you'd maybe want a mouth grafted to his chest.
Well, clearly,
he could enjoy a snack from time to time, or have ice cream. Think of all the things he's been denied. But let me take that character a step further, okay. But with a step backward. Let's look at some characters that predate.
Were we doing the time warp?
Again. they predate Eyeball Kid there in the sense that, you know, these characters were created long before the Headmen.
Oh, no.
Now, the Headmen, every single one of them has the distinction of having made a conscious decision to wind up as they did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, from the curiously named Shrunken Bones, who is, I mean, quite literally, what you hear is what you get.
Yeah, totally Shrunken Bones.
He looks like a Dick Tracy character with a name like a Dick Tracy character. Shrunken Bones. He just basically had created a serum that shrunk his bones. So he's like a regular guy.
Sorry, something just dawned on me.
Or like, you know, preteen bones.
Preteen bones.
Then you have Gorilla Man.
Straight Gorilla Man.
Yeah, Gorilla Man is perhaps one of the best because he's just a man who had his head grafted onto the body of a gorilla. Dr. Arthur Nagin. And then once he had his gorilla body, I think he used the Samsonite luggage gorilla died in a tragic accident.
Yeah.
And he was a donor, had a donor card in his luggage. So that's how they got him. apparently, he immediately then had a custom-made lab coat.
Well, you got to. Yeah, you went to the same
gorilla
guy.
Gorilla-shaped. Then you've got Chandu the Mystic, who doesn't know what he wants to be when he grows up. his most fascinating incarnation is his unicorn horn bat wing.
Yes.
Sucker-ended tentacle cluster-armed chicken leg version.
Baba Yaga got nothing on Chandu the Mystic.
Later on, he would go kind of full silver mane.
Right.
And he was just a head.
Yeah, head with a six-legged mechanical spider body.
Spider body. And then, of course, there is the character that I always knew as Ruby.
Right.
Apparently, actually, Ruby Thursday.
Which is a great name, by the way.
And she's really curious because she's got this hot chick bod going on.
Right.
With a disproportionately small spherical head.
Yeah, not like the orb's head that's too big for his body.
Yeah.
This is the other direction.
And I guess somewhere inside that is her brain. And the orb itself is some sort of highly malleable material that she can control with her mind. And so she can basically like create big ball peen hammers to swing at Spider-Man with, or, you know, make Chandu's tendrils to tap at keyboards or menace her enemies.
You know, I like to head over to Olive Garden on a Saturday night and just go off of their summer menu. Their steamed Chandu's tentacles.
Well, the Chandu tendrils became very popular. Yeah, it's a refreshing summer dish with yellow and orange bell peppers.
Yeah, you squeeze a little lemon on that. Oh man, it's good. It's good.
And if Chandu wasn't enough of the not exactly not ready for outside time, yes, he apparently at one point had his head grafted onto She-Hulk's body.
Oh, nice, nice, good. That's
so. I guess he really got jealous of Ruby Thursday there,
right? And went all in.
Yeah. So the headmen.
It's good. They're good.
They're
yeah.
not out doing. Crime stuff.
Crime stuff.
And there's that damn character I couldn't find. About a dozen or more issues ago, I was just racking my brain for this four-part robot character from the Hulk. The Quintronic Man.
Okay.
Doesn't count to this story, but I just accidentally stumbled on it while looking for something else.
Oh man, that's good. Listen,
the headmen are certainly your.
Yeah, they're there, but they travel in a pack.
Yeah, they have each other.
I've got one. My next one that I really wanted to talk about. This is a sympathetic character for me in my mind. I've always liked this character a lot. We got a Marvel Legends figure out of him, so that's good. And that's none other than Michael Morbius the Living Vampire.
Oh yeah, he was ugly as sin to start.
Well, he has yeah, right. You're not wrong there. He started ugly and then became a vampire.
Yeah, it's like they found another ugly stick to beat you with.
They genetically made you uglier. That's horrible.
I didn't know you could become worse by being a vampire.
Yeah, but he's a science vampire, so he's not like a vampire, where...
That's true.
You know, it's not like a sexy, natural vampire. You know, it's not like, you know, your Dracula's or your Luke Evans in real life. he's got the pallor of a vampire. He's got the pointy teeth, but I think the most striking thing, what's going to keep him from getting a table at the Olive Garden... Besides constantly wearing a costume with little wings under the arms,
that and being a science vampire.
Yeah, is the fact that somehow in his science transformation he lost his nose and now just kind of has the remnants of the cartilage.
Well, he's got like that weird like upturned bat nose.
Upturned nose. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, he's got like that sonar nose, you know, the kind that you can pick up the returning signals with. The little satellite dish nose that some species of bats have. Especially the horseshoe nose bat. Gruesome.
Right, he's no flying fox, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, yeah, but he's always, because he always walked, he was a villain of necessity, but turned hero of choice. You know, yeah. He's been anti-hero. He's fought beside Spider-Man. He's fought beside you know, Black Cat and Cloak and Dagger and Venom and, you know, whoever else might have, you know, he's run with old, which we can't talk about, unfortunately. But I always love to talk about Werewolf by Night because of the goddamn Jack Russell. Best name of any comic book character ever. A guy that turns into a werewolf by the name of Jack Russell.
I know. It's like, you know, that should have been Menshitsu.
He should have gotten a Harvey Award for that name alone. But, you know, he's tried to do good and he's tried to be cured and he just can't get there. He just can't quite get there. And he also can't go get an oil change in his Hyundai. Because he's Morbius the living vampire. Like, where do these guys go to get oil? I guess when you're the Thing, Reed Richards handles that stuff.
Yeah, he's pretty much from the lab. He'll reach down and, you know, unscrew the oil filter.
There has to be some service that handles these, like a Jackrabbit or an Angie's List that these guys can just call and don't ask any questions, and they just come do what needs, like, the honeydew. Oh,
what's this new app, Mudfence? And they come, it's like Uber
fucking
Eats. They like dispatch someone to come take care of these things for you.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Mudfence.
Mudfence. Hashtag Mudfence.
Hashtag Mudfence. That's awesome. So yeah, I wanted to talk about him a little bit. He's always been one of my favorites. Always super creepy. Always just like jumping off of a building with his mouth open for some reason. But also
using that sonar for his sonar nose.
Yes. All right. So, who do you want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about the guys that, you know, they can't go out without a tremendous amount of perhaps unwarranted or unnecessary sympathy. In that, we're talking about, of course, the bandage people, which would be
the bandage people.
Negative Man and Unknown Soldier.
Oh, I hadn't thought about Unknown Soldier. That's a good one.
Both of whom are perpetually bandaged up, mummy or Invisible Man style.
Right.
Without the Groucho glasses. And, you know,
Man has some Groucho glasses, though.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, neither of them can really get, not that, you know, Unknown Soldier, he pretty much was just spoiling for a fight all the time, so.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Man, I hadn't thought about Unknown Soldier in that context. That's good. That's good.
he was often mistaken for, in fact, he was accused, Negative Man, of appropriation.
Right. You know, I need to go back and read Unknown Soldier because it's been a really long time since I touched it, and I remember I remember it being very good, especially the later the Vertigo miniseries, the Unknown Soldier Vertigo miniseries. But yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, how do you do anything when you're wrapped head to toe in bandages? How do you get anything done in your life? So let's say you're the Orb, or the Unknown Soldier, or Morbius the Living Vampire. What's your Tinder profile look like? what's your Plenty of Fish profile look like right now?
Again, you know, if that service hadn't come along and taken the best possible name, Mudfence would have been another ideal.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they go in conjunction with Mudfence is an all-encompassing umbrella corporation
for these
people in every respect. Like, you need a date? Mudfence, gotcha.
That's right. We will find someone who appreciates your inner, deep, deep, deeply inner beauty.
It's just so deep. So deep.
Somewhere in there. We are certain we're like the Ghostbusters. We're ready to believe you.
Speaking of inner beauty, Cole, tell me about Hellboy.
That's a good one. Yeah, you know, Hellboy's kind of a double whammy because, you know, he can't exactly go out in public and they won't exactly let him.
That's true. But that doesn't stop. The thing I love about Hellboy is that doesn't stop him from trying. That is to stop him from grinding down his horns.
Yeah.
So that he can try to fit in.
Apparently that's the worst.
That's the thing that's stopping you. It's not your rock arm or...
Or your lantern jaw or your crimson skin.
Or your tail, for instance. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your whipping little naked cat tail.
Ew. Ew. Yeah. This show's going to give me nightmares for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with the subject matter of the show. Damn it. God damn it. No. Yeah, Hellboy immediately, when you came to me with this topic and we started talking about it, because I guess the thing that really, when I started doing the research, really struck me was characters that want to fit in. Characters that your Frankenstein-esque sympathetic want to fit in, but just can't. And Hellboy is absolutely, for me, in the top two or three of those characters. You know, done so much for his friends and his family and in service to the BRPD, and can't go get a Chicago-style chili dog.
Well, he can't go join Batman for fourth meal.
Batman might be the only person he can join for fourth meal. Batman might let it go, and that's it. Yeah. Oh man.
So yeah, he's definitely in the top characters.
He's in good company too.
Yeah.
Because he's got Abe Sapien in there. He's in good company when it comes to kind-hearted monsters fighting the greater good, you know. So.
And interesting enough, there are some characters that aren't, you know, overtly hideous, but at the same time can't go out readily in public. Like, they can't go out to the beach, and probably not a good idea. So, you know, like Angel.
No, yeah, that's absolutely accurate.
So, you know, a lot of times we're talking about the more hideous here, but you can't forget that there are other characters like Angel who are equally, and, you know, Beast is kind of, he goes with it, and I guess to a certain degree Angel does as well. You know, apart from a wig or some Miss Clairol, Doc Samson's painfully obvious out
but,
on the
you
street.
Know, you could sell Doc's, he could sell that hair off, you know, like his physique allows you to have that hair.
Okay, well, how about Northwind from Infinity Incorporated?
I don't know if I remember Northwind.
Northwind was like the adopted son of the original Hawkman.
Oh,
who came this,
yes.
Like bird person.
Bird so person.
Bird person. Do you like your? Do you take your food loose, or do you like it in a little bell?
I remember Northwind now. Yes, of course.
Or a pine cone with peanut butter and rolled in bird seed. Bird. Fans of XX-Men.
We need to do Roy. Okay, I'm putting this on the table right now. We need to do a creator spotlight on Roy Thomas.
Yes, we do. Because he is a very responsible creator in that he's responsible for so many characters.
Prolific as shit. We need to do... Yes. Yeah, okay. So go on about Northwind.
But Northwind had, like, the featherhead going on.
Yeah.
With, like, a, you know, a little sagittal crest of feathers that Mohawk style. And I think he had, like, you know, the underarm wings.
He did, yeah. He had, like, the Falcon-esque underarm wings going on.
Except they were, like, proper wings.
Right.
Like, you know, he actually probably had to preen them with his mouth.
Oh. I like to turn the lights down and...
and preen your underarm feathers.
Put on some Peter Cetera. drink a nice nice Bordeaux. Just a glass. Just to loosen up enough to preen my bone feathers with my mouth.
Bird.
I am the man who will fight. And just preening. Straight preening.
Damn
it.
Just put that out there for
Halloween
everybody.
Episode. I don't know what it is.
If that doesn't scare the hell out of
we
you.
We haven't had an episode this weird.
Northwind preening his underarm feathers going to scare the hell out of you.
We haven't had an episode this weird in a long time. I'm good. I'm good with this. I'm real good with this. This is good. Falling Gorgon. Into that.
from the Inhumans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tigra. We had talked about Tigra a little bit.
Yeah, before the show we were talking about Tigra. Yeah, I mean, again, kind of like Ruby Thursday, super hot, but also
covered in fur and with a tail.
Yeah, and, you know, God forbid you have allergies.
Oh, yeah, you're done. You're done.
It's just like this walking, you know, she's like 112 pounds of dander.
Just going to sushi with her is a nightmare.
Oh,
yeah. If you can get her in the restaurant, like, that's the thing, right? Like, okay, so we have, like, we're bordering on having to wrap this up.
All right.
Getting closer to the time.
Robot Man is another that came to mind. Because sometimes your brain gets put in a body or your body gets forever trapped, like Blue Devil or Rhino.
Oh, yes, for sure. Absolutely. Blue Devil is a good one. Yeah.
Who's like, his mask is glued to his face.
Yeah, Blue Devil's a good one. I always like Blue Devil because Blue Devil is a stunt man, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this again, and let me paint a picture of Blue Devil for you in case you don't know who Blue Devil is. Blue Devil is a, let's be 6'5", 6'6". Probably weighing in at about 275 solid muscle. Big dude. Is a stuntman. Also, did I mention the fact that he is literally blue and has giant horns? So when Ryan Gosling is getting ready to wreck the car and they cut and call for Blue Devil to step into the car, how does he do that?
You maintain your career in this way? And the big problem is that he started out as a stuntman who got fused into the costume of a character. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, that's some serious liability on the part of the costume department.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. If you have a costume, you get stuck in.
Forever. And, you know, that raises a lot of questions that I'm going to let your own imaginations guide you down the myriad paths that open up with that. But then, in this most bizarre twist of fate that can only happen in the comics, he becomes a literal Blue Devil. First, he starts out in the costume of this character called the Blue Devil.
Right.
That just happens to be a, like, you know, a strength-enhancing super suit.
Well, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, why wouldn't you actually make a real exoskeletal armor if you're shooting a movie? So apparently had an unlimited budget.
Sure, just through the roof. No. It's just funnier the more we talk about it.
I know. It's a wonderfully ridiculous concept. And then to make it even more ridiculous, for those of you who are wondering, is it possible? Could this be more ridiculous? The answer is absolutely yes, because the way you achieve more ridiculous is that you work out some element where some demon or somebody comes along and changes him into an actual devil.
Right. It's like, so, hey, you look the part already, so why don't you just...
It's no longer like Olive Oil where he's running around in the same costume all the time. Now he has quite literally become a hellspawn demon.
And let's give him a trident that, like, shoots crazy eldritch bolts from it as well. So, while we're at it.
I thought you said a trident that shoots gravy, which gravy would be trident. Such an amazing power.
Man, where do I get a gravy trident?
And is it like just regular gravy? Is it like that brown gravy from Kentucky Fried Chicken, or is it good old country, the cream gravy with the pepper? In it, or is it like a sausage gravy? Oh, good stuff. Okay.
Good stuff. It's good stuff. Now I want gravy. Speaking of gravy, there's a concept I want to get to with you before the show ends.
I just want to know where you can get gravy as a fourth meal at this hour.
Oh, that would be KFC. That you could just get all the gravy.
Oh, no, but this hour, though, it's hard to find anybody still whipping up a batch of gravy.
Oh, I didn't say they were going to be open.
Oh, okay. Just
I just said you can get the gravy if you want. If you are motivated enough to get that gravy, you can get that gravy, son.
Not condoning this, but there are ways to get at that gravy.
Sometimes you have to get the gravy. So, hashtag get that gravy. What about a alien race? So we aren't talking about aliens too much, but there is one that I wanted to talk about, right?
Okay.
So you've got a stalwart, true of heart superhero who happens, just so happens, to have the head of a horse. Let's just say he has the head of a horse. But goes beyond that, and his race of people decide to do a bunch of genetic experiments on him and make him look less like a horse and more like his horse's skeleton.
Oh, yeah, just to, like, whittle him down. He, like, botched...
let's imagine
botched plastic surgery, yeah.
But this guy is so good in his heart that he can lift Mjolnir and wield the mighty hammer. Yet, every time he goes to a restaurant, they offer him sugar cubes and apples. This is Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, wow.
This is Beta Ray Bill for you, right here.
One of
the truest heroes in the Marvel Universe who can't catch a break because he has the head of a horse. The body of an Adonis. I can't even.
Well, that in about every 8 or 10 months, he's got to have his teeth floated.
Yeah, he's the Adam Driver of the Marvel Universe. Yeah, I said it. Eat it, Kylo. You have a head of a horse. Yeah, all I'm saying is you have the giant head of a horse.
He does.
And you're an awful actor. I'm allowed to feel between him and the little pretty faced not Barry Allen they've got playing the Flash in this JLA movie. I might have a heart attack.
God. Yeah, well, don't get me started on that, too.
But yeah, he was always one that I thought was like he never would get. He's not, because when you here's the thing: compare him to me, and he's a monster. Compare him to Thor, and I don't even know if we have a comparison. We don't even have a bell curve to put that comparison on. But I'm hoping he's in this Thor movie somewhere. Just
every time there's something comes to a vote, he feels obliged to be in the negative.
Oh, Cole. Don't. Just finish it. If you're going to start it, you owe it to the universe to finish that joke.
He feels like he must always vote nay.
Oh, God damn it. My butthole just puckered. I just, oh, God. I'm going to need
vitreous humor.
Vitreous humors after that shit. All right. So I've got a concept I want to share with you.
All right.
So when I was thinking about this show, and I was also thinking about issue 250 and the what if superheroes were real concept.
Yeah.
I think in reality, since we're talking about spooky spiders, if superheroes were real, and I think if we really look at it from a real philosophical and psychological and sociological perspective, I think it would be the most horrifying thing in the world. Because think about it. Let's say you live in New York City every day. You never know if you're going to leave the house. And imagine you're just walking home. It's dark, maybe 10 o'clock. And a guy jumps out and says, give me your wallet. Okay. Scary, right?
No.
But you know how to react to that. You're gonna give him your wallet. You're not a crazy person. Now imagine that a guy jumps out and says, give me your wallet. And then out of nowhere, a grown-ass man in a spider suit drops down behind you and starts cracking wise and shooting webs out of his hand, you're going to lose your shit.
Oh,
I don't care who you are. You're going to lose your shit. There is no normal. There is no new normal in that world. When one of your greatest heroes is the literal Terminator, you can watch Wolverine die and heal in front of your eyes. That is a horror movie. The greatest American hero is Frankenstein. That is a horror movie, Cole. Comic books, if put into the, if looked at through the lens of real life, are all just horrible monster movies. Whether it's the Joker spree killer, and Green Goblin spree killings, or the Avengers, which are pretty much just the Universal monsters running amok in New York City.
That's so true. Yes, there's no shortage of frightful creatures.
I'm just saying, you would never leave your house. When, like, my challenge when we were going to do this prior, we were going to have Eddie on the show. Unfortunately, he didn't survive. The Ragnarok that was the recording of this show. I was going to challenge you guys to present any character to me, and I was going to tell you how it was a horror character. Because in terms of, even in my research, and I don't know if you know this, do you know the original origin of Lockjaw? As described by previously mentioned The Thing.
I remember when Lockjaw was introduced, and I think that at least... Well, the funny thing is, Lockjaw started out as a fantastic bedtime story, courtesy of one of the characters we should have mentioned at the outset, and that is none other than Kurt Wagner, the Nightcrawler.
I was trying to avoid that, but yes. One
because
of
my crappy German accent, like Germanic, Franco-Germanic accent I just did.
When I was selling the idea of all comic book characters or horror characters, he was absolutely one that I brought up. Oh, you mean a three-fingered blue elf with a devil tail that can just appear and disappear whenever he wants with the smell of brimstone?
Yeah, with three toes, no less.
That's fantastic.
Two forward and one back-facing who can scale walls like a gecko and
disappear into the shadows. Right?
Yeah,
nothing.
Not at all.
I smell the devil. What is it? Oh, there's the devil. That explains it.
And he has like a, you know, his entire body is covered with a thin layer of like panther fur. like dark, like indigo panther fur.
And he's got a weird mullet and he carries a sword. No, it's fine. I'll be safe. It's fine. Yeah, maybe I'll just talk to this girl who can phase through walls and carries a dragon with her. Everything's good here. Everything's fine. I'm not scared. It's fine.
Yeah, in fact, the character started out as just a fanciful creation of the mind of Nightcrawler based on their SR-71 Blackbird that Professor X, I think, won playing cards or something.
Right.
You know, $17 million jet. $117 million jet that generally doesn't come on the civilian market. SR-71s at the air show. But he got one. There's no disputing that. And when the X-Men made yet another journey into space, this time to help Charlie's main squeeze and defend her empire against the Brood, somewhere in like the bowels of some sentient spaceship animal dwelled a fire-breathing dragon that happened to look exactly like what Kitty Pryde imagined this Lockheed the Dragon might look like.
Yes, yes.
So it becomes a strange chicken egg wheeled into existence kind of thing, and nobody seems to be bothered by the fact that the one begat the other.
Right. All right. We got to wrap this up. We've done our hour. So
the horror, the horror.
Oh, thank you guys for joining us. We're sorry that this didn't come out earlier for your, you know, for your Halloween refresh, but it's enjoyable nonetheless.
It's going to, depending on where you are in the country or the world, it's arriving in the nick o' time.
Hopefully, yes, it will.
Or the jack o' lantern of time.
It's maybe if we can get it up tonight, we'll see what we can do. If not, feel free to refresh your feeds and listen to it tomorrow and think fondly on today. Yeah, thank you guys. It's been one day we'll tell the story of the battle that it was to get this particular episode. We won't forget it for a while.
And thank you for Eddie for playing along. I wish we could have had you back a second time.
Oh, for sure. All right, why don't you plug us up and we'll get out of here and let everybody go back to their tricks and their treats.
Yes, and enjoy your all too plentiful bounty of sugary delights and all of the health issues that come with them, because by God, you earned it. And we're coming to you from Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUmail@yahoo.com. And every time I say that, I keep thinking I said Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole@yahoo.com. It's at JediCole.com. You can find tweets at the Jedi Cole U. There's a Facebook page that once every 10 years I'll put something up there. And we're also on the Instagrams.
We are.
And, of course, be sure and check us out in the next couple of days. On Friday, we'll have the latest episode, 252nd issue of Hey Kids Comics. We'll be hitting the racks. And if you're keen on some of the back issues, just look up the back issue bin. Put in Jedi Cole back issue bins. And that'll bring you to the page where you can find five boxes chock full of back issues of this very show, plus the sixth box will be opening very soon with issues 251 and 252.
That's right. It's going to be
for
great.
For openers.
It's going to be great. It's been a fun ride. It's been a wild ride. Like Cole was saying, you can get us on HK Comics Show on Twitter and on Instagram. We're going to have some YouTube stuff coming out, some live shows coming up. We're ramping it up for the next 250. Hopefully the curse of the Halloween episode doesn't strike us down before we can get to 500. But
plus, we're only 47 issues away from our ground, and that means you were having to be prepared and actually go out and find copies of this for our 300th episode.
That's
300th
right.
Issue. This is Sparta!
You are just excited to say it.
We might push it back.
I know it's the 300th.
Well, make it issue 301.
That's just so you get another chance to say it. All right, guys.
Turn in next week for this is Sparta.
She's going to record every day for that week. Just some 7 days from this is Sparta.
119 days of this is Sparta.
All right, everybody. Buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. And go down to Olive Garden. You deserve it.
Yeah. Go down, grab a stack of comics, go to Olive Garden, have a big bowl of tendrils, and toast the good health of comics.
There you go. We'll talk to you next time. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Once again, lost Cole.
He has slipped into the nether world.
Yeah, the upside down.
Yeah, boom. Yes.
This whole show is going to be Cole dropping out and us trying to get him back. Somebody call Craig T. Nelson and get a tennis ball and a string. We got to get Cole back.
No, what we need is a box of Eggos. Just kind of shake it like you would a box of dog biscuits to get your dog to come. We just need to shake a box of Eggos.
What? I don't know if you can hear me from your side of the world, but I can hear you.
Oh, yes, he's back from the other
back
side.
Back the upside down.
I was learning how to push pennies.
All right, so I'm keeping all of this.
Thank you.
This is proof that we're cursed, Harry Hamlin. So we're going to... That was a fire starter reference.
I just have to ask Eddie, what have I got in my hand?
A card with three dots.
Oh,
I don't know.
Just...
Are you hearing what I'm hearing, Andy, or is it just me?
I don't know what's going on. This is amazing, though.
Are you hearing this?
I am.
I'm hearing...
Yeah, I'm hearing some vaguely Jason Friday the 13th-esque noises.
Well, are you there?
This is the best Halloween episode I've ever been on of any show.